Al Caravan Radio in Colombia. But July 27th at 0641, it was much stronger, up to S8 or S9.
Hello, teens on the internet. You're listening to Jeff from Snack Point Charlie on WGXC Acra 90.7 FM, home of the hits.
The Catskill Town Board meets every first Tuesday of the month at 6:30 p.m. at the Catskill Town Hall and holds a committee meeting the third Wednesday of the month at 6:30 p.m. You can turn out in person at the Catskill Town Hall to speak at these meetings or tune in to a live web stream through the Catskill Town Board and WGXC. Go to wgxc.org/listen or click on the listen button at wgxc.org to tune in to any of the Catskill Town Board meetings, the first Tuesday of the month at 6:30 p.m. and the third Wednesday of the month at 6:30 p.m. at wgxc.org and townofcatskillny.gov.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Anna Koval of Brooklyn, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
This is Tongue in Cheek. Today we're joined by Ben Morgan Cleveland and his puppet, Sophia, for exercises of warming up our means of communication.
One evening in the winter of 1801, as I walked in the park, I happened to meet Mr. C, who was engaged as a first dancer in the opera, a man very popular with the public. I told him in passing that I had seen him several times at an outdoor marionette theater that had been set up in the market square to entertain the common folk with songs and dances and short dramatic burlesques. He assured me that I need not be surprised at his delight in the pantomime of these marionettes, and he hinted that they could be very effective teachers of the dance. Since he did not seem to be indulging a mere whim about them, I sat down with him to discuss this strange theory in which marionettes seemed to become teachers. He asked me if I had not been impressed by the elegance and gracefulness of the movements of these puppets, particularly of the smaller ones. I could not deny that I had been impressed. A group of four peasants dancing a fast rondo could not have been portrayed with more beauty and charm by the most famous Flemish painter of village scenes. I inquired about the mechanical control of these figures. How is it possible to direct the small limbs and the intricate rhythms of the dance? How did the puppeteer manage without having his hands tied in a confusion of strings? He replied that I should not be deceived into thinking that each limb was separately controlled in all the phases of the dance. Each marionette, he said, has a focal point in movement, a center of gravity, and when the center is moved, the limbs follow without additional handling. After all, the limbs are pendula, echoing automatically the movement of the center.
And what was that, Aaron?
This was On the Marionette Theater by Heinrich von Kleist.
And just before that, you heard Mozart's sonata in C major, which is one of several sonatas that we'll play today that are piano pieces for one piano, but for four hands. So as we're getting into today, the sort of coordination of limbs. So to start off with, I want to do an exercise that's just sort of a simple, maybe synchronicity between the four of us here, if Sophia can write also. And it'll sort of grow out from there. I'm going to do two different exercises. So the first is very simple. And those that are listening can certainly follow along and voice with us. So first thing to do, let's the three of us, four of us, just take out a piece of paper or something to write on, something to write with. Ben, do you have something? Yeah. You need a pen?
Yeah.
Here. I need a pen.
All right. So the first thing, very simple. Just reflect for a second and think of a word. Keep it in your own head and write it down in front of you. Everybody have one? So really simple, on the count of three, or at my cue. Oh, yeah, Sophia needs one. Sophia's just writing. Scratching out what she thought to write. Great. So we all have one. So just that at the count of three, we're going to just say this word. We're going to do this a couple of times. Right? So we'll just say it in synchronicity. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. One, two, three, formula. Correct. All right, new one. Let's do this a little more quickly. So, new word. Sophia. Great. One, two, three.
Tiles.
Okay, another one. Sophia, you're still involved?
Yes.
One, two, three, turnover. And one more. One, two, three, chance. Okay, great. So now let's move on. The next exercise, there's sort of two roles. First, we'll do it in this space here, and then we'll include you, the listener. So there's two roles, really. Two of us, or three of us, including Sophia, will be at first the people that are kind of breathing in a word, and I'll explain that in a second. And then there's somebody else that's the speaker, or inhaler and speaker. So going around the circle, so I'm sitting, there's Sophia here on my right. I'm sitting to the left of Sophia. Aaron's to my left. Ben's to Aaron's left. And to Ben's left is Sophia again. So this
I'm across from Sophia.
And Aaron's across from Sophia, if you want to get the full lay of the land. So the first thing that I'm going to do is I'm going to blow into my hands silently, not voicing it, but silently I'm going to blow into my hands a word. And once I've blown into my hands this word, as if I was filling up a little balloon in my hands, I'm going to pass that balloon to Aaron. Aaron's also going to blow into this balloon, further in, what do you call it? Expand. Thanks. Expand. Further expand the balloon. Then, or actually we should probably start with Sophia. Sophia's going to start, then I'm going to take it, then it's going to go to Aaron, then Ben's going to get the balloon that's going to be totally, fully inspired, and you're going to inhale the balloon and say the word that that is combining, right? So start with Sophia. So Sophia silently inhaling into the warmth of your hands, passing the full balloon to me. I'm now passing it to Aaron. Now the balloon's getting a little bigger. It's becoming a full, long volume between the three of us. And Aaron's going to pass it to Ben. And Ben, instead of breathing in, you're going to, or instead of breathing into it, you're going to inhale it. And then on your exhale, voice the word.
Absolute.
Great. Let's do it again. Maybe start with Sophia again. And go the other way.
There we go.
So passing to Ben. Aaron's now passing to me. Complicated. Okay, great. Let's do another one. Let's start. Ben, will you start? We'll go past Sophia, then to me, then to... after me, let's pass it to the listener.
Good idea.
Yeah? So after me, I'll pass it to the listener. We'll wait for you to breathe into the balloon. Then Aaron will take the balloon from you and breathe out the word. All right? So, Ben, you start with the first... Passing it. You want to pass it to Aaron? That's fine.
I'll pass it to Aaron.
So now Aaron's inhaling. Inhaling into the balloon. The word. Let's pass it from Aaron to you. So you're breathing a word in, and then you're passing it to me, to the warmth of my hands from your lungs. I'm also breathing in my word. I'm passing it to Sophia. All of our breath is with Sophia. She's inhaling. Thanks, Sophia. You want to do one more? Let's start. Let's start with the listener. So you start first. So you have a totally vacuous balloon, and you're breathing a word in. You inflate the balloon just a bit. You pass it to Aaron. Aaron has it in the warmth of his hands. He's breathing in, further inflating it. Passing it to me. I'm further inhaling into the balloon. I'm passing it to Sophia. Sophia is pushing her word into the balloon. She's passing it to Ben. Ben has all of our lungs together. He's inhaling and inspired is speaking.
Atrocities.
The 300-year-old classical national puppet theater of Japan, Bunraku, is a convergence of many arts. Puppet carving itself is an art, a traditional craft handed down within families from generation to generation since the 18th century. The heads are unusually small, since the puppet eventually will be three-quarters man size, that is, 3.5 to 4 feet tall. They are the opposite of those ancient Grecian sculpted heads, which were always slightly larger than life. But if the heads of these puppets were any larger, and they do increase in size according to the grandeur of the role, then, according to Japanese aesthetics, they would be too visible and take the concentration away from the grace of the body movements. So they are lacquered and painted into bright visibility. Puppets first appeared in Japan in the 9th century, but these sophisticated, highly developed, and expressive ones we will see today belong above all to the 18th century. Puppets as vehicles for classical literature were standardized by 1734. When dressed, a female puppet weighs around 13 pounds. A male warrior, say, in full armor, almost 50 pounds. Small wonder, then, that the puppets require three operators. A lead puppeteer holds the doll in his left hand by means of a special grip in the back of the doll's chest. His fingers pull on the strings to move the eyes and sometimes eyebrows and mouth. Puppets do not attempt to imitate talking. That would be ventriloquism and vulgar.
So I just wanted to share that because it's kind of a bit of a frame of what we're doing today. Bunraku being a form of puppetry that has, you know, an enormous amount to do with coordinating different operators, different people that are working with the same puppet. There's a lead puppeteer that uses their left hand to operate the head and the eyes and the eyebrows of these puppets, and their right hand to control the right hand of the puppet. And then there are two other puppeteers, one for the feet. If it's a male puppet, then they actually have feet. If it's a female puppet, traditionally they don't have feet, but they kind of curl up the kimono. And then there's another operator for the left hand. So it's like this great sort of coordination of these different agents, like all around this similar puppet. But I think besides that, also kind of as a frame for where we jump off into talking with Ben, there are also three roles in Bunraku, in Bunraku puppetry theater. There's the shamisen, which is the musician that plays this very long-necked instrument. There is the person that's, there are the puppeteers, and there's the chanter, the person that's actually playing both the narrator but also all the voices of the different puppets. And they sit separately on the side of the stage. So there is this kind of strange remove of the voice, but of course very like consistent coalescing into the voice of the puppet. So I just wanted to kind of like put that as a frame of understanding Bunraku and coordination. But I think we should kind of use that as a transition into talking with you, Ben, about Sophia and about some of your experience in using puppets. Maybe just to start off with, you could tell us, you know, you have two puppets. How did they come about? How did you start making, when did you start making these puppets? And
so I made Sophia first a couple years ago. I was working on her in this beige world in a basement in Astoria, Queens. I had just come back from a long trip. I went to Thailand, and I saw these traditional Thai puppet theater shows, and I just thought it was amazing, so I thought I would do it.
What about the Thai puppet theater interested you?
Well, you see the operators.
Right.
They're with the puppet. There are three people or two people operating one of the puppets, and they move together, and the puppet doesn't speak, also like in Bunraku. It's all narrated, piped in. And the operators, or the puppeteers, I guess, you see them, but you don't care about them or something. They're just like a shadow.
Mm.
And it was totally amazing, this trick that happened. So I thought that was really cool. And
the way that they were like present there, but and you somehow both paid attention and not.
Yeah,
all.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's totally, it's like a magic trick. And then also the, I think it's different than Bunraku a little bit, this thing that I saw, because the one of the puppeteers would break off and kind of stop the performance and be like an MC and kind of play with the audience as like a like the ring master. And then go back into the performance, the actual kind of like story.
But that's one, that's a puppeteer for one puppet, or that's one of the puppeteers of...
It's one of the puppeteers. So you'd break off,
uh-huh,
do this whole thing, and then go back. And even that wouldn't kind of ruin the illusion.
Mm.
They were doing all these things that you would think would ruin the illusion, and it never did. So it's kind of just puppets are...
So kind of like...
power that, you know, transfixes the audience, even if you're not a kid, even adults.
Mm-hmm.
So was the nature of the performance, I don't want to say self-serious, but...
yeah, it's like traditional tales, like a god who's gambling with another god, and they get in a fight, so he rolls up the world into a scroll.
Whoa. Wow. That sounds kind of similar to what the MC is doing, that like, or how you're describing this theater in general, and maybe how you think about puppets, is that like they are sort of flattening any difference between what would be considered spiritual illusion with like being on the exact same level as the,
yeah,
as the audience, or how we're going about.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
Like it's sort of the MC sounds like they kind of turn just into the same being as the puppet also when they separate from the puppet.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
It's like, I love this idea of like rolling up the world as a scroll.
Yeah, so then the other, the one of the spirits had to fight this other one to unfurl the world back into,
whoa,
normal.
Whoa. And that's the end.
Yeah.
That was the end of,
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow.
And
so I was basically like, oh, I'm going to do that. And I had this idea to do, you know, like basically copy it, but with my own story.
So the story actually
and
initially
I wanted
was
to
important.
Make, yeah. And I wanted to make a bunch of puppets, and it took me so long to just make this one puppet, and
Sophia.
And yes, well, I didn't have a name for her yet. I brought her to the woods in Prospect Park, where I like to go, and kind of tried to get some inspiration there for a story or what she would be like. And these guys came up, and they were like, oh, what are you doing? And I was like, I don't know, I'm just playing with this puppet. And the guy's like, oh, let me try. And then he was like, my name is Sophia Tiffany, and I'm from the Bronx.
He animated it.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, this is great. I'll just like change her personality every time based on who is the puppeteer. But like a lot of things, that just was it. And it stuck, and that was her name and personality.
Mm.
Yeah, I guess I'm curious, when you set out to make the puppet, did you have an idea I mean, it sounds like you didn't quite yet have an idea of the story, but did you have an idea of where you would want to perform? I mean, don't you feel like the lights and scenery of the stage are part of what gives the seriousness or the earnestness of the puppet performance that makes people take it seriously?
I guess I don't necessarily think that has to be there for people to take it seriously.
Yeah.
Because the stuff I saw was outside. You know, there was no stage.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
There was like a giant rock in the background.
But further, what is your reaction
and
to...
And so I thought in the woods would be good. So.
What is further your reaction to other people manipulating it? Because this is you're talking about this one context of Sophia being named, right? But
yeah.
Sophia has been in many different scenarios with you
so
and with others.
I did this class with this Pratt students, and I guess it's not everyone can do it, right? It's not for everybody, because some people don't feel comfortable enough to sort of, join with their minds, with the puppet, and be this different person, but also themselves. It's a lot, I think, for some people to get comfortable with, so they just sort of revert to silliness or...
Does that upset you?
It doesn't upset me, but I don't think it's the best case scenario. I think the best case is when it's a different perspective, a different character. But it's you, but it's not. That is what I think is the best.
How do you feel like you can sort of prime people to take it? I mean, I keep saying taking it seriously, but to be vulnerable enough to really get into the form of it, or to...
I guess just that... that it's, imagine that it's a spirit, that
mm-hmm.
is ageless,
mm-hmm.
and it's neither good nor bad, and it has some attitude or chaotic elements to its nature, and something like that, I would probably say.
Can you give some examples of we've talked about this a bit, but of the class that you were doing with Robert Snowden at Pratt, and some things the photography, the photo stuff in particular comes to mind, but ways that you start to trigger actually interacting with this puppet. And
So we did one thing I liked towards the end. We brought the class to back where I made her, actually, which was... at Gant Gallery in Astoria, and we went there ostensibly on a field trip to see this exhibition by Brad Crones, and he gave the students a walkthrough,
mm-hmm.
and told them about it, and we had a talk about it,
mm-hmm.
and then we kind of switched to this puppet performance, and I had this idea to have Mark Cocopelli surprise everyone with Sophia from behind this little bar stage at the end of the scene. And he operated her.
Mm-hmm.
And he was really great, I thought. He's kind of got a... He brought more of a... He brought her gentle side out.
Yeah, so there... I mean, it really does seem like there are some characteristics that you... No matter who is, in an ideal embodying themselves with her, that for you, Sophia still has certain characteristics.
Yeah,
in
I
a
think
way.
It's based on the stuff that Frederick von Kleist, how he talks about the
what
body
we read before, yeah.
moving on its own based on the center of the gravity.
Mm-hmm.
It's also the way... The puppet moves kind of gives it some personality, which I think people ideally should pick up on and go with, whichever direction they think is good.
Do you feel like, independent of the operator or who who's working with Sophia, that she's taken on a personality for you? That comes through when people pick it up, or when, you know, when you use it, use her.
Yeah, totally. She's like a bit more bold or something than I am. A bit, I don't know. Yeah, that's what
I'm saying. Can you describe, I mean, kind of entwined with that, can you describe, and what you were saying before about like her physical ability to move in a certain way, like her joints and how her joints are made.
Yes.
She's here with us, sitting next to us, and she's not saying much, but I wonder if you could describe her here. How would you describe her?
She's made of clay. She's like 3.5 feet tall.
Mm-hmm.
Her head is a little small. She's got a black bob haircut that covers her eyes. Yuji Yamamoto sweater, burgundy tights, gray socks with Nike slides. I wanted to get her a new outfit because this one's old, but I wasn't able to. Yeah, she's got kind of gray and white skin. And
what are her joints like?
They are a little elastic. They're made of elastic.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of bounce when she moves. So that gives her a bit, of like a bouncy movement.
How old do you think she is?
Oh, probably like 1,000 years old.
Where was she before this body, do you think?
That's a good question. I imagine she was somewhere near Astoria, maybe in a park or in the sky, in a building. I don't know. I'm not sure.
The world. Farewell. Night. Farewell. Death. Dissolves the frost. This dream within a dream.
All right, Ben.
All right. So now we're going to do something that I haven't really done this before, but we're going to try and have a moment where you guys operate Sophia.
What do you mean you haven't done it before?
I haven't directed. Well, I did direct, I guess, people to sort of pose with the puppet for these long pinhole exposure things I was doing at Harvard in the arena. But that doesn't give the puppet or the people very much agency. Maybe is exploitative. So.
Did you prefer to let individuals operate her, or as with Bunraku, was it like lots of people doing different parts of her?
Well, when it's a lot of people, there she's much more active, and that's interesting. But when it's one person, then you get the voice. So we're going to try and do two people with one voice.
Okay.
Cool.
So please
approach
make
her.
Your way over to this chair where she's standing in front of the mic, waiting.
Hello.
So, Timmy.
Tim, do you want the voice?
Aaron, you have the voice.
Okay. I have the voice.
Okay, so now lift her up. One person up. There's a stick in her back that you can
stick,
use.
Oh, wait, hold on. Let me get... I have my headphones in her face. Stick in her back.
A little bit.
Oh, I see.
You got it?
Yeah. Oh, for her head.
Yeah. So then... Tim, you hold the stick and the legs, and Aaron, you do the arms.
Okay.
Or one arm. One arm is fine. Or two, yeah, that's better.
So Aaron has both of her arms.
And maybe get her up and walk around the table.
So she should be...
floating.
Floating.
Yeah, we're going to do it like she's a spirit, not a person, so she's not going to be touching the floor with her feet.
We have to first.
Oh, she's.
Her voice is in the way of her.
She's moving. How are you feeling, Sophia? How do you like this?
I'm just trying to get a sense of my body. My fingers have some cracks in them, but my hair is in my eyes, and I can't see very well.
But what is vision, Sophia?
Well, I'm not sure if I can see. I don't really know how my eyes work, because they're not human eyes, they're clay. Somebody's holding me. I'm trying to figure out who it is, what's going on.
It's almost like you just came to life in this room and you're trying to figure out what's going on. What's the point of all of this?
I'm not sure, but I'm just trying to see what I'm wearing right now.
Mm-hmm.
I think my hand is the best way to experience this room right now.
So how does the room feel?
Well, this wood is creaky, this table. I'm touching the table right now. And... these headphones, oh, that's nice. That's really soft.
Well, it's nice to see you, Sophia. It's been such a long time. What have you been doing these past... I guess I haven't seen you in about a month.
Well, I've been...
Do you hibernate when you're not active? Or do you float around the sky?
I think that I sort of float around, and I don't see anyone, and I don't talk to anyone. It's only when I'm out that I can do this.
So maybe you're out now for a reason. Maybe there is some point. Hey, I have a question. Have you talked to Earl Grey recently?
Yeah, I have.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we were complaining about the weather to each other.
Oh, huh. Yeah, it's kind of bizarre, right? No snow.
Yeah, but it's been an extremely warm winter, but I don't know, we wish that we could be outside a little bit more.
Mm. So how is Earl Grey? I worry about him. He was lost for a little while.
I don't know. I'm not sure. He's
a tough nut to crack, right?
Yeah, he's I don't know. I don't know where he is. I think he's floating around Astoria right now.
I really like the way you're moving right now, Sophia. It's a little trepidatious and graceful. And
well, I'm trying to figure out where on this table I can stand without destroying a computer or getting caught in these cords.
Oh, yeah, technology.
But I'm floating above the table right now.
Oh, that's good.
It's so nice from up here. I'm floating above the room. I can see
everybody. Sophia, do you mind if I take a picture?
Oh, not at all.
You're such a good sport.
It's nice when I'm floating around without a body for a while. It's nice to be the center of attention for a little bit when I come out to play.
You're always the center of attention, Sophia.
How have you been? I haven't seen you for a little bit.
I'm fine. just, you know, making my way through the world as a physical person.
Oh, that's nice. That feels good. I'm trying to touch the microphone right now.
Yeah, this is a microphone.
What does your face feel like? Oh.
Feels like that.
Wow. Scratchy.
Yeah. I need to shave.
It makes a nice sound.
Sophia, how come you don't have any fingernails?
I'm not sure. I think that's a question I would ask you.
I don't know. They're not my fingers.
Why can't my wrists bend this way?
The wrists can bend all the ways.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You spin.
Those wrists are quality. Quality joints. Going on the lamp.
I'm sitting on the lamp right now.
Oh, hell yeah.
I kind of like that.
Mm-hmm.
These chairs are not quite suited to my body. Oh, that's warm. Yeah, that's better. I'm trying to touch these sound panels right now on the walls of the radio studio. Oh, I'm going to come down to the floor.
Back with the people. Oh, are you bowing? That was a great performance, Sophia.
To be around friends again.
Mm-hmm. Sophia, you got to tell Earl Grey that, we're going to help him, okay, next time you see him.
Do you know what's wrong with him?
He's lost. He was looking for his gallery, his home.
Do you think that's because his body is in storage right now? Do you think we have to take him out?
Well, I guess that's maybe a good idea, Sophia. I hadn't thought of that. We'll take him out. Next chance we get.
I'm going to try and jump around the room a little bit. I'd like to sense what the room's like by touching all the different parts. I'm going down to the floor. Oh, I'm on the copy machine right now. This is nice. Yeah, this is way better than being in a
Sophia,
bag.
Sophia, can you do a little dance?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, wow, that was graceful.
Thank you.
Last time I saw you dance, it was more like a little two-step. It was more like a Swan Lake finale.
Yeah, it's nice to be out in my body. The bag is so... I don't know. I'm not in the body when I'm in the bag. I'm floating around. But when I'm moving like this, it's like I'm here.
Do you want to bring us through another exercise with puppets for the listeners, maybe?
Sure, we can try that, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, thanks, Sophia.
Yeah.
Okay, listeners, we will try a quick experiment, maybe 5 minutes, where you imagine the place you're in. You imagine it as a stage for a performance. And maybe... close your eyes, maybe, and imagine like a painted canvas backdrop unfurling in the back of the room, showing some kind of outdoor scene with a river. And now look around the room, and there's going to be a spirit, an ageless spirit, neither good nor bad. It's going to occupy itself into some object in the room. So let that object kind of tell you, announce its presence as no longer just an object, but more like a vessel for a spirit. And this spirit is related to Sophia, but it's not her. The spirit does have a name, though, and it's Lo La 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 Lo. Okay, so now maybe, hopefully, she has kind of announced herself in some way, in some object. So hopefully you can touch that object. Maybe you can hold it, but if you can't, maybe you can touch it. And then, so for this exercise, it's going to be like puppet calisthenics via this inhabited object. So Maybe you guys, Timmy, Aaron, can you try and do this real quick?
Yeah.
Okay. So, first, if you can touch your object, if you can hold it, we're going to do a series of warm-up exercises. Kind of like you used to do before a game, sports practice. We're going to do jumping jacks. Okay, ready? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Okay. How do you feel? A little warmed up? How do you think?
I think I need more.
Okay.
I'm well stirred.
What do you have? What's your spirit? Is everybody's spirit the same?
You know, that's a good question. I would say, in a way, yes. But there are multiple realities, so each one is slightly different based on the relationship of the puppeteer to the puppet, and the spirit is kind of the puppet a little bit. So, I don't know, something like that. So maybe now you could do some stretching. Okay, so try and maybe touch your toes. Feel the burn a little bit?
Yeah, totally.
Yes. Yeah.
That's good. Maybe we'll do this one that I heard about, sort of like jumping jacks, but it's so imagine your puppet having arms of some kind. Maybe it's just the sides of the object, and legs of some kind, but maybe that's just the bottom of it. And then a head, of course. And this is going to be like, I don't know if it's like a Muslim version of jumping jacks, but we're going to do it where you go from the right arm, stick it out. Right arm, stick it out. Right leg, stick it out. Left leg, stick that out. Left arm, stick it out. Both arms to the sky. And then Allah. And this movement is the path that blood takes in your body as it passes through it. So it starts in the heart, then goes to the right arm, right leg, left arm, and to the head, and then back to the heart again. So it goes like this. You ready?
Yeah.
Arm, leg, arm, head. Allah. 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 All right, so that's a bit of it's a warm-up, but it's also like maybe a little more spiritual. I don't know that much about the Muslim faith, but I always liked that.
Because it connects blood with spirit.
Yeah, and yeah, the body. And
can we do something else with this?
Yeah, absolutely. You can tell the spirit to help you with a problem you might be having, but don't tell
us.
anyone else. Just whisper it.
Whisper it to the...
Yeah.
To the puppet or to the spirit?
I think to the puppet, right?
Yeah, to the puppet. Okay. So maybe throughout the day, you can check back in to see if this this spirit has any advice, and or maybe it has a joke. You know, maybe the joke is on you, but maybe it's on the puppet.
This was Tongue in Cheek. Talk to Me, Puppet with Ben Morgan Cleveland.
Thanks for listening.